Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, Dr. Butcher MD from Dr. Butcher MD. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the tear. The ones who didn't get to tell their tales. I have never mentioned this on the show before, but when I was a kid, growing up, we had a family that just sort of ran the neighborhood, even though nobody wanted it. They were called the Carrolls. They kind of were the official, unofficial mayors of Southwick Square in Trenton, Michigan. Well, I was fortunate enough to run into another one of those types of people this week on our show. Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. Again, just a quick reminder here in week two of me not having any hot water, which I don't think I've brought up, but I'll complain more about it later as the show goes on. Just rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts, and just a quick click, and it would be great for the show. We greatly appreciate it. It does a world of good for us. But joining me this week is longtime friend, crier at movies, my buddy Jameson Webb. How are you, pal?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm great. I'm so glad you could do this, man. Thank you for coming out.
I'm thrilled to do it. I would have brought some hot water with me had I known.
Let me know next time. That's so bad. How was I supposed to know I was supposed to turn the gas on in my apartment?
It was kind of a self-inflicted thing. Got it.
It was a self-inflicted, just little oversight that we didn't see.
Now you know next time.
Yeah.
You know, first
thing. First thing,
get that figured out.
Right. I want to talk about horror movies, but you mentioned something earlier when we were doing this thing at the, I don't want to say pre-interview because we're not that good.
Yeah.
the pre-interview. Crying at movies.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, historically, that sounds like everyone's aware of it. No, I guess famously, if I had said famously, that would have sounded like, oh, we all know this. So I would say historically about me is that I never really cried at movies. Mm-hmm. There were a couple, but as I've gotten older, I've started to just cry at movies. I find myself getting choked up or weeping or whatever. Yeah. And sometimes in a way of like, you know, why am I welling up at Sam Elliott in A Star Is Born, and yet there I am in the theater going, hey, I can't believe he dropped him off and he's got to get out of there, you know. But there were a couple movies that always, and still to this day when I watch them, there's a very good chance I'm going to cry, and one is Forrest Gump. Which, like, not the part where, you know, Bubba dies or Jenny dies or Mama Gump dies, but the part where Forrest first sees little Forrest and meets him. And there's that moment where he goes, you know, is he smart or is he? Oh, he can't even finish it. But God, there's that self-awareness, that realization that he's gone through this thing in life. He doesn't want his son, just as a 10-year-old, I got it and I wept. The other one is E.T. the Extraterrestrial, which is very interesting because most of that movie, the first several times I saw it, I spent it terrified of E.T., terrified of the physical E.T. creature, the animatronic, the puppet, whatever. And yet, every time in the movie, the I'll be right here, and then that John Williams score kicks in.
Yeah. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Even now I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah.
I cry every time. That's my history of crying.
I never used to do it. And do you think it's a product of us getting older?
Absolutely. I think it has to be.
Yeah, because I recently cried at Ford v. Ferrari.
I don't mean to laugh,
no,
but
it's funny.
That is the last title I would have thought you said.
I cried at Ford because my grandfather worked at Ford.
Got it.
Ford's. We're a Ford family, and I just was like, yeah, that's home.
Yeah.
They would show it to, like, talk about Detroit in the movie. I would get very upset.
Right.
Not upset, but just welled up. Yeah. I cried at Dr. Sleep, the Shining sequel.
Sure.
Cried at that. But the scene that gets me in Forrest Gump is when he goes to the grave, and it's in his backyard.
And maybe not the best place for it.
Maybe not.
But also nice, but touching
nice,
in its own
but,
way.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe sometimes you want a break.
Yeah, you want to get away from the graveyard.
I'm not saying it makes you love her any less.
You know, distance makes the heart grow fonder.
And the birds fly out of the tree. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
You know, and he said, you know, Forrest wrote this letter. His son, you know, it says, I can't read it. I'm not supposed to.
Oh, and he doesn't read it.
And he doesn't read it. And he sets it down. It's just, you know, and he kind of wraps with the movie's theme. I mean, I've said this on many occasions. Forrest Gump is my favorite movie. I know it's flawed. I get the critiques of its, you know, rosy colored look at Baby Boomer. I get all of that. Mm-hmm. No other movie has played me like a fiddle more perfectly than that movie. And I still love it. And, yeah, and it's full. And that's the thing about, you know, I cry Forrest Gump and I feel like there's 10 or 11 parts in that movie where you could cry and everyone be like, yeah, absolutely. And I get it 100%. Yeah. But I do think it's because we get older, because when you're younger, you see a movie, you don't usually have the life experience to kind of, you relate to something going on emotionally. Yeah. Oh, he's leaving. She's sick. The dog, you know, yeah, is gone. But then you start to go, oh, no, 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 that's not this character. I'm seeing this family member. I'm seeing my dog. I'm, you know, all of that.
Right.
So it's got to be either older or the fact that movie theaters sell alcohol now, which probably
that's
just gotta
be part of it. Now that you say that, I'm usually 4 or 5 beers in when I go to see one of those movies.
Don't know why I'm sobbing at John Wick 3. I have finished a bottle of Cabernet.
Maybe that's why I cried at Ford v Ferrari.
But it is like it's. I can only imagine it's. And it's. That's the funny thing about having an emotional reaction to movies, whether it's crying or being afraid of it. There's what the movie is doing, but there's also what you as the viewer are taking from mm-hmm. it. And it's, I think that's an incredible, because most people probably would not cry when they see Ford v Ferrari. Ford v Ferrari versus Ferrari? Is it a V?
I think it's V because it looks cool.
Yeah, let's go with it. So FVF, as we call it in the streets.
Yep.
Most people wouldn't cry, but God, you have that connection to Detroit and you have the connection to the automotive industry.
Yeah.
Ford, it's amazing. And I'm sure somewhere in Italy, there's a little boy who is from the Ferrari family, who's like...
And Ford just kicked his grandfather's ass.
How could you do that to me? Enzo, my grandpa, Enzo, oh, Christian Bale, why you do this to me? But yeah, movies are incredible.
Do you think it cheapens it because now there's a Bubba Gump restaurant? And I don't mean that as a joke.
No,
I mean
no,
that in all honesty. Like, do you think that does?
Probably, and yet... I've gone through the thing of I'm going to go here because I sincerely want to eat here,
yeah,
too. I want to ironically eat here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back in kind of the sincere thing. I live in Santa Monica. Do I go to the Bubba Gump there all the time? No. Have I been?
The one on the pier?
Yeah. Have I been more than once in the 2 years I've lived there? Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times I've been there? That's between me and my God. But, but you know, there's one at City Walk. My wife and I went to Monterey last year for a little weekend trip, and I think like the second Bubba or the original Bubba Gump location was there, yeah, and I didn't know. My wife was like, I got a little surprise. And we went,
that's
which,
amazing.
You know, it's fun because you go in there and you kind of, you relive the movie, but you also relive all the great memories you have of watching the movie, and
yeah,
and you know, it's like anything. Do you think there's going to be a Ford v Ferrari restaurant?
I would like there to be like a ride at Universal.
I like that. Yeah, that's like, really cool.
You could race, you know, you could pick which one you want, Ford or Ferrari. And
right.
You know, you could race the other one.
That's a great idea.
I mean, I'll pitch it.
Pitch it, yeah. If you're a theme park and you're looking for submissions for rides.
Don't ask me to design it. I don't know what it takes to make it. Right. I have the idea.
Here it is, and that's a movie
yep,
based on the ride.
I'll take my check and I'll be on yeah, my way.
Yeah. I also have a couple for Forrest Gump. Let me know.
Yep. I love talking about it cause who cares? I had some people over and we were listening to Tom Petty and I'm a big Tom Petty fan and I didn't realize it, but Allie was sitting to my left and like, it was, All Right For Now off the live record.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I didn't realize it. I'm just fucking bawling listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, like, cause when he died, it was one of the Second City ships and I found out that he died and I went up to the Garden Cafe and I was playing like a compilation, like the best of record. I'm just sitting there like reading a book, crying by myself in the corner.
I was very affected by the passing of Tom Petty. Growing up in Florida, I mean, he is it's like, if you grew up in Florida, it's like, you know, Jimmy Buffett songs, you know, Tom Petty songs,
right?
Like that, you just know them. And I went to school, University of Florida in Gainesville, and he grew up born and raised in Gainesville. And they came back for like a 30th anniversary show. So if you watch the Tom Petty Running Down a Dream documentary, that Gainesville concert, they keep going back to, you know, I was there and loved him. And then when I moved out here, he passed away like 2 days before we moved, and we get out here to Santa Monica, and I'm walking with my wife and our dog, and we passed a hospital that's like 4 blocks from where we lived. And all of a sudden I see like flowers and like thing, and it was like, that's where he passed. And I had that, caught myself, because it was that thing of like, didn't know the man, never met him,
right.
Knew him through his music.
Right.
And yet in that moment, it was just a very real visceral thing of like, this is where it ended. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you just had that, like, these songs, what they meant to me and all that. Yeah. And it was so surprising and strange, because again, and music is a similar thing, have very little emotional reactions to it, but then you have it and you're just like, this lived in me, and I didn't know I had this capability.
Sure. I didn't know I could, like, do this.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where it was, you know, right. And it is.
It's like when you ride, it's like when you learn to ride a bike for the first time in 2-wheeler, like, yeah. I didn't think I could do it.
You're right. Yeah. Oh God. And you're mm-hmm. crying. I cried.
Oh, cry. Yeah. You know, of course.
On bikes.
I saw him, I think, right before he died, I saw him in Milwaukee.
Okay.
In July. It must have been Summerfest.
Yeah. I saw him at Wrigley Field that tour. That tour. One of my 2 nights off Second City was like, I'm going to see Tom Petty, Wrigley Field. Got to see it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I'm so happy that I did it. I mean, at the time I was like, is this the best use of one of my, like, personal? And I was like, yeah, do it. You know, do it. And I'm so glad, because
I did it for McCartney when I was on Maine.
Oh.
When I was understudying on Maine.
Yeah, yeah.
I took a night off when he was in
Wrigley.
At Wrigley.
Yeah. I was at that show too.
Yeah. That was a great show.
Yeah. It was, is this right? Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I just went alone because I was single at the time.
That's what I did at Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Because I knew our buddy Sam was going to be there, but he had already gotten tickets.
Right.
So I was way behind the ball. So I bought like a $350 field ticket.
I was on the field too.
Were you really?
I swear to God. That's amazing. Yes.
I was probably
yes.
like, I don't know, 30 rows back or whatever. But it was great.
Amazing show.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, you go, is this the best thing? And then a couple years later, you go, I'm so glad I did that.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, I had that same visceral reaction, like, because I didn't know what to expect. I've loved the Beatles. I'm wearing a John Lennon t-shirt right now. Mm-hmm. But when he came walking out, I got choked up, because I was like, oh, it's a Beatle, and he's just walking. I don't know what I was expecting him to do, but he just walked out, and it was like, oh.
Right.
And then he started playing.
And you had that thing of like, I'm close to him. Like, I'm physically, I'm not going to do this, but I could, like, throw a Nerf ball and get it close to him, you know, and you look around and you're like, oh my God. And then there, the history of like where you're, I mean, all that stuff. Wrigley Field, I think one of the best things that they ever chose to do was to start hosting those outdoor shows, because I saw Springsteen there and Billy Joel, and it was always like, oh, this is great. This is like, there is no better place to see these guys mm-hmm. like just play this American, you know,
right.
I mean, you know, McCartney, you know, British American, you know, whatever, but I think we need a Paul McCartney ride too at one of the parks.
That would be great. That would be so trippy.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
You call it Paul McCartney's Day Tripper, and it's,
that's really good.
All right. Universal, if you're listening, or
what
Disney.
Would you call Tom Petty's?
Well, it depends on the ride. You could do a kind of a plummet ride and call it Free Fallin'. You could do Tom Petty's Running Down a Dream, maybe a fun roller coaster kind of thing. Yeah. Maybe, there's a Tom Petty, the Heartbreaker song, Runaway Trains. Mm-hmm. You could have a fun little runaway mine car ride.
Is there one for Mary? I didn't realize how morbid this was until I said it, but I was going to say Tom Petty's Last Dance, and then you could do something through... You know, Allison. Well, that's Don't Come Around Here No More.
Yeah. Well, you could do, you know, for Last Dance, Mary Jane, you know, you could start off in an Indiana town and... Eventually, it's a ride down I-75 or whatever down to Florida.
And the end of it is like your coaster drives into Kim Basinger's mouth, and that's how it ends.
And that's how it ends. And you get out and you're like, what? And then it's the video. They're really, I feel like a great untapped frontier of theme park.
I can't believe you and I are just discovering like the we're just clicking with this.
I mean, there's so much here. If there's any angel investors who really want to have a classic rock theme park, let's do it.
Yeah, we could do one for the Rolling Stones.
Yeah,
Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin. You know, hey, what if it's a motion simulator ride? You and Bobby McGee driving down the highway.
You fall in love with Bobby McGee,
and then, right? Rolling Stones, hey, Sympathy for the Devil, a fun trip through history's darkest trenches.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. The Plague, 9/11, fucking, you know.
Tsar Nicholas being, sure. You know, all of this,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Have you been back to Chicago since the – were you there when the Cubs won the World Series?
I was, yes. Were you? Yeah. It was great because the Cubs won the World Series, and that was so exciting. And then I think literally 4 days later, the election happened. And the city went from – like I went downtown to kind of get close to the victory celebration. I didn't go into Grand Park for the Cubs, but it was like a beautiful blue fall day. And it just – everyone was so happy. And yeah. It felt like how the city had felt when Obama got elected, that same, wow, look at millions of people are happy.
Right.
And then like 4 days later, it was just
well, that was that.
And yeah. Yeah. Nice while it lasted. But yeah, I've been back to Chicago a couple of times. And, you know, it's fun. Like there's, you know, the spots you want to make sure you hit, right. and all of that. But the nice thing of like having lived in a city and going back is if you want to do the touristy stuff, you can. And you don't feel guilty. You're like, I lived here. I've been here. I want to see this thing. Yeah, I want to walk by the Bean.
Yeah.
Get out with you. Yeah. You know? But also, like, I want to, you know.
It is cool now that you say that having lived there, you can do all that, but also we have our little local haunts that nobody really knows about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Rainforest Cafe.
Have you been? Oh, it's gorgeous.
Amazing.
It's like a rainforest inside.
Inside, right?
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's, I mean, have you been back?
I haven't been back. I think the last time I was there, they were doing the renovations on Wrigley. Like they had just torn down the McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Which, to me, that's a big landmark of what that has become now.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, because we were there last... We've been there. I was there in August. We're actually going to go back in around Christmas time this year. But we were there last, kind of leading up to Christmas. They had torn down the McDonald's. And they'd put up the hotel. And I think they hadn't closed the Taco Bell yet. Or they hadn't knocked it down yet.
Is it gone?
The Taco Bell's gone.
Oh, my God.
And everything. I mean, the Chicago that we knew, that kind of Clark and Addison area and all that, is completely different. And I get why they did it. But that's also a thing of like... Man, so much had changed in a year that it was also, I didn't cry, but it was very emotional of like, things move on.
Yeah, like, for sure. Yeah.
Without you.
Yep.
And
I felt that way even going back to Detroit.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, how much have you felt that kind of change since your time there?
It's weird because it's exactly like you said, things come and go. And whether it's like a new restaurant pops up in my hometown or whatever, I feel... Oh, I should have known about this. Right. You know what I mean? And I know it sounds corny and silly, but it makes me sad that I'm missing out on that. I don't know.
When I go back home to Fort Myers, Florida, this inevitably happens. Like when everyone goes back to their hometown, you're driving around and you're like, hey, when did this close?
Right.
When did this open? And my parents would be like, it's been gone for 5 years or it's been, you know, and it's like, no, I was just there in 2013. Right.
Right.
And you
go,
my God.
Yeah.
You know,
sucks, man.
It does. That's why I'm just going to not grow up.
Don't ever grow up.
Don't ever grow up.
But I think it speaks to what we were just saying of, you know, you start to, I don't even know how we word it, like access those feelings of like, oh, this stuff does matter.
Yes.
And, you know,
life kind of starts to tear away things from you.
Yeah.
And like, you're just more exposed and it's like, oh, this is hitting. Like before I didn't feel, it's not because I had this like protective armor.
No.
Of, but I just had like the armor of innocence and
you're a stupid punk kid.
Exactly. Like,
you know? Yeah. I don't know if I've said this on here before or what, but my mom, and I think it's applicable. I remember being in high school, like my junior or senior year, and my mom was like, enjoy it. Like, really enjoy this because I had a great group. I'm friends with them, but like, we had a great time and like, I was really, really fortunate. And I was like, this is going to last forever. Like, we're going to be friends. Wait. Like, and then everybody goes to like Michigan State and, you know, fucking anywhere else in the country.
Right.
And you lose touch with those people. And yeah.
Have you found with, you know, Facebook and social media that you fool yourself into thinking you've kept in touch with people just because you've seen their... Like, I had this at my 10-year high school reunion. People were starting to tell me what they've been up to, and I was like, right, you moved to Boston, too. And then I had that moment of, like, I haven't spoken to this person since, you know, 10 years ago, and I know this stuff about them, And I think I have felt this closeness or this awareness, or right. I have felt part of their life just because I've seen them post photos and updates and all that. Have you had that kind of thing?
I did for a while, but then I've been trying to get off of like Facebook and all that stuff. So like the people that I still talk to from home are the people that I've been friends with since we were kids. So I talk to my friends pretty regularly, if not through text every day or through phone calls, at least every other day.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So those are the people that I really hold near and dear.
Good for you. I am so bad at maintaining friendships. Any of my friends listening, Chicago, otherwise, I know I'm not a good friend, and I'm really sorry. And part of it's shyness, and part of it is just
well, you get wrapped up in your own, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's tough. I'm making a vow to be a better friend to you, and you know who you are.
And that's why we brought you here.
And that's it. Oh my God, this people just burst out of this closet. All the people I've neglected over the years.
I set up this long 2-year con to get you here in LA. I had you in Chicago. I could have done it there.
No, but I needed more time to kind of let it hit me. And
you
needed
to live in Santa Monica and, you know, go to Bubba Gump. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, buddy, thanks for doing this, man.
Thank you.
I wish I could talk to you all day, but I got to go because this guy Vic is here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So we got to talk to him.
Hey neighbors, Adam and Nate here to talk to you about Patreon. Now, this podcast is possible due to our Patreon patrons, and you can become one by going to patreon.com/myneighborsaredead.
Supporting the show on Patreon's easy. You pay what you can, and in return, you get My Neighbors Are Dead merch, behind-the-scenes info on how we make the show, a shout-out on future episodes, and more.
You may be wondering what we use this money for. Well, we use it for things like production costs, website hosting, traveling for the show, and our monthly meds. We are both severely medicated.
Sad but true. Now, podcasting isn't cheap, and we appreciate any help you can give. If you'd like to see how you can help out the show, go to patreon.com/myneighborsaredead.
Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
Well, welcome.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you for doing this. I'm glad you were able to make your way out. Did you find the place okay?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm local to the California area, and clearly from my accent, you can tell, born and raised up in Simi Valley, and not a problem to get in here. Very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm talking to just Vic.
Yeah, just Vic. No need for more. I have a last name, when we talk about Cher or Ronaldo or mm-hmm. Kramer,
mm-hmm.
one name is enough.
You're not wrong. And you've made it, I just want to put this out there, you've made it very clear that you and I will not be friends after this.
No, this is a one-shot deal.
Okay.
This is like we're two people on an airplane.
Yeah.
Really nice chatting with you. I got to get off. I got to go. So I will not be back here.
I respect that.
I got a business to run. I got to get back and run my business.
Of course.
So
you're from the San Fernando Valley area.
Simi Valley, San Fernando, all the valleys. I kind of just, you know, the general kind of what I call the Valley region of California.
And you refer to yourself as a neighborhood guy. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm kind of like, you know, every you know, neighborhood has like a mayor. You know, like they're the mayor of the neighborhood. Not officially, but there's the guy that kind of takes care of things, the mm-hmm. guy who knows. Or like you go to the bar, the guy, oh, that's like the mayor of the bar. Everyone knows that guy. That's kind of me for my little gated slice of heaven.
I get that. That were the Carrolls for me.
The what?
The Carrolls. When I was growing up, it was a family called the Carrolls, and they were sort of like the neighborhood mayor.
Oh, got it.
Really in everybody's business.
Got it. Thought you were talking about the Christmas songs for a second, and I was a little confused. I got you now. The Carroll family.
I think it would be nice if Christmas carols ran a town.
I'd love it. You kidding me?
That'd
be
great.
Hey, what's up, Mayor Jingle Bells? Excuse me. That wasn't laughter.
No, that's okay. Ugh. You can feel free to laugh. It's fun. To have fun.
Got a hell of a margarita for breakfast. And
you had a margarita for breakfast.
Well, yeah, it's Sunday.
It is Sunday. It's the Lord's Day.
Lord, you know, eat, drink, and be merry.
You know, I love that. So, Vic, you, I mean, let's talk about the events, man.
Sure.
Like the E.T. events. Elliot. The alien, what's going on there?
Well, you know, I mean, you say E.T. I never caught his name, you know, did not meet him,
yeah.
But I understand that, you know, the boy, Elliot, who lives down the cul-de-sac from me, mm-hmm. befriended this little wrinkly, can I curse?
You can say whatever you want.
Bastard. And, yeah, basically, you know, it's a pretty quiet neighborhood. I kind of keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of fun, a lot of kids. And I've always been, you know, somewhat friendly with Elliot's family. No last name necessary for them either, you know. And, yeah, some things started happening. And next thing I know, bikes are going through my backyard. And NASA is showing up. And, you know, it just went to hell. And basically, from what my understanding is, this little wrinkly pervert came down from the stars and befriended a sweet little boy. And I'm sorry. I grew up in John Wayne's America. That's not okay.
Yeah, let's explore that. So you're referring to him as a
wrinkly, perverted, wrinkly little pervert from the stars, I think was the term I used. I've used a lot of different terms talking about this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you say about
him? I don't know. Admittedly, the aesthetics of it are very bizarre because this little wrinkly pervert is hanging out with some kids.
Yeah, it's not right.
Yeah.
It's not right.
I think we got to protect our kids.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, it's not an ageist thing. It's not like the fact that the pervert is wrinkly is not, it's not that. It's just this guy, this, you know, apparently, you know, he's glowing from his fingers and I'm not okay with that. You know, I'm on neighborhood watch. I'm a laid back guy. I'm a progressive guy. Mm-hmm. I, you know, this isn't about the, you know, I love all humans. Let's be clear about
sure.
that. I am a loving, all-encompassing, I don't care, nationality, creed, you know, Nickelback, whatever you are. Like, I'm a fan of all people.
Uh-huh.
But you come down to our planet, you play by our rules. Rule number one, margaritas are okay on a Sunday morning. Rule number two, you don't just befriend people's kids.
Mm-hmm.
You don't live in their shed.
Yep.
You don't take them on a magical bike flight.
I agree with you.
Without talking to the parents. Talk to the parents. My understanding, E.T. did not talk with the mother until it was too late.
You know, now that you say that, when I was a kid, it was anytime I went to go spend the night at a friend's house or anything, my mom knew she had talked to the parents.
Yep.
She had talked to the, you know, mom and dad knew where we were going, what we were doing, and what time we'd be back.
Same. Yep.
I did not have a wrinkly old pervert living out in the shed.
No. And maybe you did. You didn't know it. And that's because a wrinkly pervert respected you. I'm sure I had all kinds of freaks in my shed growing up.
Do you think you had perverts in your shed?
Probably. Oh, hell yeah. My parents?
Yeah. What were your parents like? What was your relationship like with your parents? Well,
daddy was a beatnik.
Oh, no.
And mommy was a hippie.
Oh, okay.
And daddy was the 50s. Mommy was the 60s. And they met somewhere around the Kennedy administration, and I was born. And look, they were very free-spirited people. There was a lot of reefers and free love and all that kind of stuff. And we had people who would stay with us. We had house guests. You know, I just recently found out my Uncle Tomasino, not an uncle. His name is not Tomasino. And as a matter of fact, he's there was a warrant out for his arrest for running an illegal tattoo parlor.
What?
Yeah.
An illegal tattoo parlor.
On a train in New York. He ran on a subway.
The subway?
Yeah.
That's damn near impossible.
And yet he did it.
That's amazing.
Illegally. And I found out. So anyway, he was one of the shed people. You familiar with the band The Youngbloods?
Oh, yeah. Get together? The Youngbloods.
Yeah. Well, they got together in the shed. They were some of the shed people.
Uh-huh.
But they were respectful to me. They certainly didn't talk to me unless my parents were there. And they certainly weren't wrinkly perverts.
I'm fascinated by this. At any given time, how many people were living in your shed?
It was a good sized shed. Probably a baker's dozen.
Wow, that's okay. That's good. So, that's 13 people.
That's 13 people, I'd say. Yeah. And it depended on the size of the people. Youngbloods, you know, they were small people, so you could get a couple more in. But, you know, one year we had, you know, the Los Angeles Lakers team of that time in there, and those were tall people. Jerry West, you know, Wilt Chamberlain. You know, a lot of the late 60s, you know, Lakers squad were in there.
I wonder how many Kareem Abdul-Jabbars we could get in a shed.
Four and a half. We had a little, they had a shindig for the cast of Aeroplane one year. So Kareem showed up along with Peter Graves, Robert Stack, Lloyd Bridges,
great actors,
Juliet, incredible people. But again, you know, I was a teenager. They didn't talk to me. You know, there's just a respect that's shown. Anyway.
Your parents seem very accommodating for all these people. Like, hey, just come on, hang out in our backyard.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's the beatnik hippie way.
You seem to have taken a hard left from that lifestyle.
Yes. Yeah. I'm definitely more conservative.
Yeah.
I was part of the Reagan coalition.
I mean,
not going to apologize for it. Best president.
Just say no.
Yeah, or just say yes at the ballot box, because I voted for the man twice. The best decision I ever, the best thing I ever did twice, except for Mary Veronica, my wife.
Your wife's named Veronica?
Vic and Veronica.
Vic and Veronica.
That's right. And
that's adorable. I don't want to assign the word adorable to you, but that's very adorable.
No, thank you. Thank you. Do you know what we call ourselves?
What's that?
Well, you put two V's together. You know what you get?
A W?
That's right. So we just call ourselves W. Our family crest is a W. They go, is your name W? No, it's Vic and Veronica, and our last name. But wow. W is the family crest. Anyway, the point is, so we're a little bit more conservative. And part of that conservatism, like I said, growing up and respecting, people in John Wayne's America, part of that is that you don't just start talking to neighborhood children without talking to the parents first.
I could not agree with you more.
I am.
Do you and Veronica have children?
Yeah. We got a boy, Vance, and we have a daughter, Valerie, and Vance and Valerie are both, they're both away at college.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
Valparaiso. And they're both majoring in different things.
What are they majoring?
Veterinary medicine and Victorian veterinary medicine, which
is
kind of an old school approach to taking care of animals.
I feel like they would be kind of outdated. Isn't it a little outdated?
Yeah, well, you have to know what doesn't work to know what works.
That's so actually very true.
The Victorian vets show you, no, if you don't need to disassemble a horse for a sore throat. The current vets are the one that say, no, you can just, you give it a little pill.
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
You're going to avoid a little, it's just way less work.
Yeah, we're just, our family's built on logic.
For sure.
And values.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your relationship like with Elliot and the neighborhood kids?
Nice kid. They'd come around the house trick-or-treating, Elliot and Gertie and his older brother, Michael. Nice kids, I felt bad for them. That was not a father figure, my understanding. I remember the father was around and he went off to Mexico with someone he had. Mm-hmm. And that's none of my business. That's fine. Mexico, beautiful. Again, not my business.
Yeah.
The mother, Mary, wonderful, very good parent. But, the boy just didn't have that father figure.
Yeah,
and
it's tough.
So they were kind of getting to scraps. He had a little bit of an active imagination. I remember, can I curse on here?
Absolutely.
He used to call his brother, he's penis breath.
Penis breath?
Penis breath.
Penis breath.
And I remember one they were playing in the cul-de-sac. They were playing a little game of, kickball with a little, bundle of socks that they had in a bag because they didn't have a ball. And so Elliot kicks it and Michael grabs the bundle of socks and throws it and hits Elliot in the head. And he goes, watch what you're doing, penis breath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly, I'll say this, an evocative slander on his part.
Certainly.
But it's colorful. It's certainly colorful, and it paints a picture in your head.
Yeah.
And I remember I was out there, I was hosing down the driveway, and I said, hey, let's watch it. Let's watch it, Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, sorry, Mr. V. He calls me. And nice kids.
Yeah.
But when you told me that Elliot befriended a wrinkly pervert from the stars, I went, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Which, I'm trying to decide if which pervert is worse, from the stars or from a local area, because they're both bad, but I think one can be a little more manipulative than the other one.
Yeah, the one from the star, I mean, who knows what kind of higher intelligence, because they've come from Saturn and, Alpha Centauri and, Cygnus X-1 and all the different, I'm a bit of a...
you're a big space head?
Yeah, I'm a big space head. Yeah. I'm an astronaut. And, I love all the stars, I actually have a telescope in the backyard.
Great.
Yeah. We have a favorite planet we love to look at.
Which one is it?
For me and Victoria?
Yeah.
Venus.
It's a beautiful planet.
It's beautiful. And yeah. You know what I like about Venus?
What's that?
It is hot. It's a hot planet.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make a show of it.
Yeah.
Saturn's like that too. I got rings. And Jupiter's like, look at my red spot.
Yeah.
And Venus is like, I'm hot. Take it, leave it, whatever.
It minds its own business.
Exactly.
Which I like.
Which I like, except when it comes to my neighborhood.
Of course. Well, you gotta protect the crown.
Some bit of I think the thing about people visiting from the stars is, you know, they're bringing kind of a higher knowledge, a universal sense of perversity,
mm-hmm.
and they bring that to Earth, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, what is all this about? Just not a fan of the kid, of the thing. Elliot, nice kid, but this...
But the pervert, you don't...
Yeah, yeah, Et, or E.T., whatever, you know how you say it, but yeah, just not a fan.
Well, I'm curious because we're just in that time of year. You got any plans for the holidays coming up?
Yeah, we got something going on. We're gonna do visit my wife's family.
Oh, nice! That's great.
Yeah.
Where's her family at?
Virginia. And let's see. I'm trying to think what else we got going on. You know, just for the New Year's, we're gonna go on a vacation.
Oh, great!
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Miami.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah,
I've been
to
Miami. Miami's very beautiful.
I'm excited. It's my first time there.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're going to love it.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Sorry, I'm getting a little...
What happened? Are you okay?
I love dolphins.
Oh,
and
sure.
I've never seen a dolphin, and I understand, and this is even like the football team. I know my... But I understand like there are a lot of dolphins in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Can you like talk to them and...
I believe there are some excursions set up where you can go swim with the dolphins and, you know, you can spend a day with them.
Because to me, there's nothing more beautiful than a relationship between a human being and a smooth-skinned creature of higher intelligence who has a similar capacity for emotional intelligence. I think that's just a beautiful relationship.
I think dolphins are perverts.
Come again?
They're very sexually aggressive.
I don't understand.
They're like... They'll rub their wieners on you and stuff.
Dolphins got dicks?
Yeah, they do. I don't want to... You know what? Don't let me ruin this for you.
No, but, I'm just realizing the irony of the sitch.
No, it's
here
not.
I am condemning Elliot and E.T. for this friendship that I did not understand. And now I'm... you're doing it with me, the dolphin, and I just... I'm so sorry to...
Go to Miami. I've been to Bermuda. They have a dolphin excursion there.
They can
swim like a sick dolphin. It's just swimming around like it's, you know.
It can't go anywhere.
No, it's trapped. It can't go anywhere. It's
incapacitated. Can't go anywhere.
It can swim, but they've cornered it off where it can't get out.
So they put like the shed. Yeah.
Yeah. They make you swim in it. Yeah. So go to Bermuda.
Okay. All right. You're thank you. Love it. Okay.
Well, Vic, have a great holiday.
Yeah, you too.
Keep an eye out for those perverts.
Hey, but I'll be a little more open-minded.
I like
next time
that.
I meet a pervert. So
best
thank
of luck
you.
To you and yours.
Yes. Feliz
Thanks
Navidad.
For coming by.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock. The show was produced by myself and Nate Dufort, with editing done by Nate Dufort. Original music was composed by Jesse Case, with additional music by Dane Halverson. Our artwork was done by Mark Nishan. Vic was played by Jameson Webb. You can catch Jameson doing comedy in and all around the Los Angeles area and across the country. If you'd like to support My Neighbors Are Dead while getting unique swag and a look behind the scenes of how we make the show, go to patreon.com/mynabersaredead. No amount is too small, and every bit helps. If you have yet to rate and review the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please take a second to do so now. It helps us grow, and it helps new neighbors find the show. And you can find us on Facebook and at Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead, and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Stop by, give us a follow, and share your favorite episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, folks. Sean Watkins here. I'm here to tell you about my podcast/album, called This Is Who We Are. That's right, it's a podcast and a record, all rolled into one. Each episode features one song off the record, paired up with a conversation with a guest who is related to that song in some way. Guests include Jackson Brown, Inara George, Kate Micucci, and the conversations aren't about these songs specifically. The songs just serve as sort of a topical springboard that hopefully will lend a little context to this new album of mine. Sort of like a modern-day version of liner notes, only much more personal. The podcast and the album are both called This Is Who We Are. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts.